Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Hello and welcome to the 5 Yard Dynasty podcast. Hope you're all doing well. We had another London game, Liam. Unfortunately, I didn't manage to make this one. I'm kind of turned into a Jets only trip to the London games now. What about yourself? Did you make it up?
Unfortunately, didn't. Sounds like this one was a much better game than the one that we managed to get to.
Oh, that's a bit harsh. I quite like the game.
At least our game, we got to see Pitts' first touchdown, so I'm quite happy with that. But from what I heard and what I saw, the game was a bit more tense than the Jets Falcons game, unfortunately.
Yeah, I can unfortunately have to admit that you're right there. It's any game that's got a last second field goal certainly is always going to be one that the neutral is going to enjoy more, I guess. But before we dive into everything, I'm keen to remind you that support for the 5 Yard Dynasty podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who are the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. We still have a very exclusive offer for you. You can get 20% off and free worldwide shipping, using the code 5Yard. It's a fantastic product. We've talked about it now for a couple of months. I absolutely love mine. Use it very regularly. It is an impressive piece of kit, and it certainly gets the job done. Maybe we should rebrand it under Ronseal, and it does exactly what it says on the box. But yeah, I mean, Liam, let's not got to give the people what they want. The cocktail of the week. I'm sure it's the only reason a lot of people tune in. where are we going today?
So today I don't actually have it. So it's a cream cocktail, and I'm not a big fan of cream at all. So it's a white Russian, so it's just vodka, Kahlua and cream. I've heard it's really nice. Go and make it yourself, and I'm happy to get some responses back, see whether it is actually nice or not. But I'm not a fan of creams, so I've never tried it.
I'm sure I've had white Russians before, and they've never been that fancy. I'm sure I've just had vodka and milk. I don't know if that's like the poor man's white Russian of just vodka and milk. And
maybe that's what they can afford in a nightclub, Rich.
I'll tell you now, I definitely wasn't drinking white Russians in nightclubs, that's for sure. There is no way I'm spending money on any sort of cocktail in the club. But yeah, I mean, it was a pretty interesting week this week, wasn't it? I don't know about you, Liam. I think it was my greatest fantasy weekend ever. I basically won. You got to enjoy the victories when they happen. So yeah, I basically won pretty much everywhere, to be honest. It was delightful. I think any week in which Deontay Johnson, CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott all have pretty good performances, I'm generally going to do quite well. But yeah, I was very pleased. What about yourself?
I didn't do very well in my dynasty leagues. I'm still doing pretty well in all of my redraft leagues, I think, apart from one I'm not doing very well in, but the rest I'm at least 500 or winning records. But yeah, dynasty, I'm not doing too well, so I don't know why you're listening to me. Listeners.
I was going to say, if only you did a dynasty podcast or something. But yeah, my biggest brag is that I've dropped slightly, but I'm still 21st in the Scott Fish Bowl, which yeah, very very pleased with at the moment. As I said to somebody earlier, it's better to be lucky than good, because I'm not sure I'm good enough to be top 21 in Scott Fish Bowl at the moment. That's for sure.
You're not doing yourself justice there, mate.
Well, as much as we sit here and talk about fantasy, it is, what is it? I say it's 20% luck, 80% skill in the regular season, and then playoffs is 80% luck and 20% skill.
There's definitely a big element of luck in all of fantasy in general.
Absolutely. You know, if it wasn't, it would be, you know, make our jobs nice and mute, because otherwise everyone would just be like, right, this person's going to score more points than this person, job done, let's all go home, you know.
Exactly. There'll be no hot takes.
Exactly that. But also, we talked about Manscaped. We have got another very exclusive, very interesting sponsor. So 5 Yard Rush, we are delighted to be teaming up with Fanting. So we have got an exclusive contest for Sunday, the 17th of October, which will include, the, say, the 6 p.m., the 9 p.m., 9.05 and the 9.25 fixtures for the Sunday Red Zone Cash Contest. This means that the contest starts at 6 p.m. and will end once the 9.25 game is finished, around sort of 12, 1 o'clock UK time. It is free to enter, and there will be a cash prize to the winner. If you tune in to the DFS pod or the DFS live show on Thursday, you'll be able to get the password to enter. So normally the DF guys follow us on this channel, but they're going to be coming up on Thursday because that is when the contest goes live, and you'll be able to listen in, get that password. It's free to enter. And you can win some money. So absolutely go ahead and do that. It should be fantastic. Liam, the highest scorers of the week. We talked about it earlier. There was a few of my favourite guys in there. Who led the way?
So, yeah, we'll start off with the quarterback position as usual. Josh Allen, Kirk Cousins and Dak Prescott. I had Dak in a couple of spots this week. I think the biggest name out of those three would be Kirk Cousins. Just everyone sees him as a middling quarterback to high-end quarterback two. I don't think anyone really expected a quarterback two overall week out of him. So at the running back position, we had Derrick Henry go off on Monday Night Football. You had Leonard Fournette and Jonathan Taylor.
Derrick Henry is an absolute obscene human being. It is absolutely mental that he can just keep doing this. I heard a fantastic stat today on the PFF podcast, which if you're not listening, you should, because it's fantastic. They said that Derrick Henry so far, if you just took his yards after contact so far this season, he'd have he's got more yards after contact than any other running back has total rushing yards, which is just mind-boggling to think that, you know, a guy can essentially have more yards after contact than anyone else has pre-contact, post-contact altogether. It just shows how insane he is. I also wanted to quickly touch on Leonard Fournette, because, you know, he's kind of putting together a really sneaky, fantastic season. We've seen Ronald Jones essentially be put on the curb since week one. We had that fumble and he's sort of not really got a chance back. There was Gio Bernard was brought in to be the pass catching back, and he had 1 week where he had sort of 11 targets, didn't he? And he's not really done much since then. Is Leonard Fournette, is he like a sneaky ad at the moment? I don't know where people are at in terms of value on him, but he's kind of a really solid RB2 that you might not have to pay up for at the moment. I mean, I'm going to go and do some digging, certainly over the next couple of days, because I think that offense is going to score points and I want a piece of it. And if I can get Leonard Fournette on the cheap, absolutely do it. Do you think that maybe he's sort of a sneaky cheap buy at the moment?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've got the trade deadline coming up for the NFL in 2 weeks' time as of today. So that's Tuesday. So I believe it's the 2nd of November, if I've got the date right. But it definitely is 2 weeks today as of recording. So we could see Ronald Jones traded away. We know that the usage isn't there for him right now. They've got Gio Bernard. They've got Vaughn if they really need to back him up. I don't think they need that three-headed monster that everyone was predicting, because Fournette's just doing so well, isn't he? And he's catching the ball. That's the biggest thing for him. That's where a lot of the production is coming from, because I don't think he's terribly different or much different to what he was last year on the ground, but he's catching the ball and he's being really efficient with it. So that's where the hike in points is coming from. And I just wanted to touch on Derrick Henry as well. The dude has 780 yards already in the season.
It's just mind-blowing, isn't it?
I just had a look to see his carries and then noticed that he has nearly 800 yards through 6 weeks.
Yeah. He's on pace for 2,400 yards from scrimmage.
He's already on 160 carries. 160.
I was looking at some breakdown of kind of rushing volume versus receiving volume for backs today. And it's basically this nice little collection of guys in the middle. There's DeAndre Swift, Austin Ekeler, and Najee Harris, who are getting far more passing usage than rushing usage. And then there's Derrick Henry, basically off the scale, who's just getting, you know, almost double like the usage. I think he's like 60 carries ahead of the next guy in terms of rushing volume. It's just mind-blowing how
he is, you know, absolutely huge.
We talked about, you know, Larry Johnson and that sort of fabled 400 touch mark, and if every running back that hits that has fallen off a cliff. And Derrick Henry just seems to be like, nah, I'm just going to keep going. I'm, you know, you can keep giving me an obscene amount of carries and I'm just going to keep smashing people around. It's incredible. I do think, you know, I talked about him in my buy sells on Friday. I do think that we're now at that point where for the last 2 years, people have talked about Derrick Henry as, oh, you've got to sell Derrick Henry. You've got to sell Derrick Henry. He's a must sell because of the usage and he's going to fall off a cliff. And I think that people are now coming round to that way of thinking that Derrick Henry's never going to go. So I do think that if you can get probably top three running back value, if you can get, you know, that fabled 3-4 firsts, if you can get an absolute haul for him, now's the time to do it. One of my favourite moves, if I can get Derrick Henry for DeAndre Swift plus, that's a move I'm doing 100 times out of 100.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. I think the best way to put it for Henry is he's the Tom Brady for the running back position. Everyone's called Tom Brady to fall off a cliff for 5+ years now, and he's still not going anywhere. So moving on to the wide receiver position. So we've got, look at Rich already smiling before I've even said anything. Rich's boy at CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver one on the week. And then we've also got Cooper Kupp and Adam Thielen backing him up. But Rich, I know you want to talk about CeeDee.
What's not to talk about? The guy's an absolute freak, isn't he? He's, you know, he's incredible. You know, he's in a fantastic offense. We've talked about that. You know, everything's there. This breakout has been coming. I just think there's nothing to love. It's quite funny actually. He's had this massive breakout, and I've had probably 4 or 5 people inquire about buying him after the weekend. It's like, what are you doing if you're trying to buy him now? But yeah, I think the price is sky high, isn't it? He's my dynasty wide receiver 4. And to be honest, if I'm not a contender this year, he's probably 1 or 2. I think it's him or Justin Jefferson for that top spot outside of your Tyreek Hill and Devontae Adams. I think what is there not to love? He's young. He's got incredible production profile coming out. He's got the draft capital. He's in a fantastic spot. You know, he was the top wide receiver 10 before Dak got injured last year. He's absolutely producing so far this year. I think the sky's the limit in terms of CeeDee Lamb. You can't, you know, you can't buy him high enough, if I'm being honest.
I think we touched on it in the off season where we both had a 1A and 1B tier of contending one, tier one, which would be someone like Tyreek and Devontae Adams, and then a tier 1B, which would be the non-contending, which is like a Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb, as you said. And I think that's where I am right now, and I'm interchangeable with Jefferson and Lamb. I don't know which one to put first, but if I've got either of them, I'm very happy in my dynasty leagues.
And I might be getting a little bit hot takey, but Jamar Chase is in that tier for me as well. That's becoming a tier of 3. And I think that CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, those are the 3 guys that if I've got on my roster, I'm very excited for the next 3 to 5 years.
I think with Jamar Chase, I've got to see a little bit more to put him into the top 3. What I don't want to do is see what the community did with DK Metcalf last year and AJ Brown last year. I'm not saying that they're not there. I'm just saying they're not the wide receiver one, as everyone was saying. So I want to see a bit more out of Chase, but honestly, I'm absolutely loving Chase, and I think I'm only a couple of weeks behind you right now. So at the tight end position, we have Noah Fant putting up a pretty good week, to be honest. And then Mike Gesicki and Travis Kelce backs up the top 3. Travis Kelce not dropping out of that top 3 yet.
it's just, you know, death taxes and Travis Kelce producing points. I have to say, as a guy that owns a lot of Travis Kelce, I've been a little bit disappointed with his performance so far this year. I think, look, he's the tight end one. It's hard not to be impressed by him. But he's not quite kind of so far ahead of everybody else at the moment. And I do think that, you know, I talked about it on the DFS pod with Mark last week. I really do think that this Chiefs offense is due to kind of go on a bit of a run and just tear people apart. And I think that Travis Kelce is going to be a big part of that. I'm very excited about him for the rest of the season. And yeah, if I'm a contender and I'm uncertain about my tight end spot, I'm definitely willing to overpay to go and get Kelce. But the guy I'm really keen to talk about is Mike Kosicki. He's kind of been one of these guys that I've had a bit of a blind spot for over the past couple of years, because I just, you know, you see that incredible athleticism. He's basically a 99th percentile athlete in pretty much every way you look at it. He is a complete athletic freak. This is a guy that's run over the last couple of years 80% of his routes out of the slot. He's basically not a tight end. You're kind of cheating by calling him a tight end, because he basically runs out the slot constantly. So for me, I've really been excited, and I do think that we are now seeing a true breakout from Mike Kosicki. We've seen it now for a few weeks. I think that offense, you know, you saw on Sunday against the Jags, when he gets targeted, good things happen. You know, I fully expect, yes, we've got, you know, a crowded receiver core, although they all seem to be injured at the moment. But I do think that if Mike Kosicki can sit around that 15 to 20% target share, I do think he could end up being in that, you know, he's never going to break into that top three, but if he could end up in that sort of tier two alongside a Noah Fant, a TJ Hockenson, or, you know, someone like that, I'm very excited. And I think this is a guy that you can go out and buy pretty cheap, to be honest. I think, are we talking maybe get him for a second? I don't know if, you know, the owners probably want to sell him a bit higher after last week, but I do think that some people will be thinking, right, now's the opportunity to try and sell on Kosicki. And if I can get him for a second, I'm really happy paying that.
I'm not a fan of paying tight ends outside of Kelce and Waller at the moment. But I do get your point. I've got Fant in a couple of leagues from last year or the year before, where I quite liked taking a tight end like Hockenson or Fant in rookie drafts. But since then, I've just kind of completely faded the tight end position. I do get the want and potentially even the need to go and get Kosicki. I just don't think that if I'm paying a second, I want to go and get a wide receiver rather than a tight end.
Yeah, I just think that I reckon he's a guy that you can buy on the cheap that is going to get, I think he's really breaking out. And, you know, we've talked about Kelce, Waller, Kittle, you know, you've got your sexier up and coming names, your Hockenson, your Fant, your Pitts, you can throw Mark Andrews in there. Those have all got name value. Nobody's really paying attention to Mike Kosicki. Nobody really loves Mike Kosicki. Nobody wants parts of that Dolphins offense, but the guy's producing. And I just think that he could potentially be a buy high, for want of a better phrase, because you're not really having to buy high, but people feel like they're selling him high, if that makes sense. Yeah, I think that whenever people sort of start to point at a player and say, sell high, that's actually sometimes quite a good place to buy, because when somebody comes to consensus sell, normally the price is so cheap that you can almost buy them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you spoke about it last week, basically going against the grain, zigging when everyone's zagging. But enough of the high scorers. Let's move on to the significant news. So not as much as previous weeks, but some pretty big news. So Christian McCaffrey went on to IR just before the games last week, or at least the Sunday games last week. That is looking like he's re-aggravated his hamstring. So that's, again, 3 weeks, or three games, should I say, out. I don't know what that means for him long-term, but I can see his value significantly dropping now, and there's going to be question marks about who's going to be the first overall pick in quarterback one quarterback leagues?
I think it's really a brutal injury, because it felt like, you know, we talked about Edwin's kind of prognosis that it's, you know, a third comeback after a week, a third after a week, and then a third off kind of 2 weeks plus. And it felt to me in the week like CMC was kind of shaping up to return. You know, he started practicing. So I don't know if there's been an aggravation or kind of a re-injury or what. But the fact that he's now gone on IR and he's off for three games is absolutely brutal. As a guy that traded for him in two dynasty leagues, trying to get an injury discount as a complete contender, I'm now scratching around trying to make do until he is back. I still think that he holds that RB1 value. I don't think his value has dropped much. I think that in order for his value to drop, he needs to come back and not produce at that, you know, 25 point a game value that we've seen. I think, and even if this is him done for the year, I still think that we, unless, you know, a Jonathan Taylor or a DeAndre Swift go on an absolute tear, I still think that Christian McCaffrey will be that RB1 come the off season.
I just don't think that he's the running back one. I'm not saying he isn't, but I think the gap between him and the rest of the group was so big at the beginning of the season, but now I don't think there's that much of a gap, and there may be question marks of how much do we pay between, say, DeAndre Swift, Barkley, if he's still got that top end value, Jonathan Taylor, for example.
Yeah, no point in the last.
What's the difference there?
At no point in the last 18 months has there even been a conversation about the RB1, whereas the fact we're now at least chatting about it shows exactly how much impact it has dropped, doesn't it? Yeah, I do agree with you.
Moving on, so, but sticking with the running back position, unfortunately, so both Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt have got calf injuries from what I can see. Chubb is confirmed out for week 7. Kareem Hunt, however, has been put onto IR, so that, again, is 3 games. I don't believe they have a bye. I think their bye is week 13, so it will be 3 weeks. But Kareem Hunt out for 3 weeks, and then Chubb is looking like he's out at least for this week. D'Ernest Johnson may be your replacement there.
All I would say is caution people is remember what D'Ernest Johnson did last year when we were in the exact same situation. He did absolutely nothing.
Yes, definitely.
It makes sense. It makes sense for Nick Chubb, doesn't it? They're going to, you know, they're playing Thursday night. They're going to get a 10-day break after this game. Why rush him back and risk that re-injury? Sit him out this week and hopefully he can be right for week 8. I'll be honest, we're still waiting news whether Baker Mayfield's going to play on Thursday. He's apparently going for a second MRI to check out his shoulder, and he's questionable to play. If Baker Mayfield's out, if Kareem Hunt's out, if Nick Chubb's out, I'm not sure I want any part of this Browns offense, because it could be an absolute car crash.
Well, what Browns offense is there? I mean, Odell Beckham's also banged up, so
exactly.
Who is going to be catching the ball or throwing the ball there, running the ball or whatever?
And they're not, you know, they're playing a solid Broncos defense. So
yeah,
if you are hoping that D'Ernest Johnson, you know, you're going to go and blow your fab on him to try and help you this week, I think I'd just, you know, caution against that. I think for me, if I can go and get somebody in this offense, and you probably can't because he's probably already rostered, and so you can't go and pick him up off waivers, and you're probably not going to be able to go and buy him at the moment, is Demetric Felton. I think he's, you know, electric with the ball in his hands. We've seen him run routes as a receiver. We're now seeing him this week start running some routes out the backfield. I am really intrigued about him moving forward.
We saw him catch that touchdown, and he looked really good in space in that touchdown. I think it was week 2, maybe. But yeah, he looked amazing when he had the ball. And that was the one thing that I saw on his tape, was even though he wasn't the best runner coming out, he still, once he got the ball, you could feel that he could make anyone miss.
Yeah, he was a guy that I was using those, you know, last round rookie picks on, yeah, and trying to stash him where I could, because coming out of UCLA, you've seen, you know, anyone that has 3 years as a receiver and then transitions to running back, I kind of think, oh, this guy could be a, you know, a James White or a JD McKissick or someone like that. And I really think he's got that potential. I don't think he's ever going to be more than that, But I was sort of penciling maybe Nick Chubb might not get re-signed, and we could see Kareem Hunt and Demetric Felton as kind of the balanced backfield. Obviously, Nick Chubb since signed that long-term contract, so maybe that's not looking so great now. But I am very much intrigued about Felton, certainly this week.
Well, all you need to do is sell him for more than you've got him for, with potentially usage this week. You might see a desperate contender go get him for a second off you. And exactly that's probably a bit of a hopeful take, but all you need is some desperate owner to come and try and get what they consider a cheap back to fill in for someone like a Christian McCaffrey or a Barkley, who has gone out, and I've got a roster with both of them on. Luckily, I've got some backups that are doing pretty well as well, but all you need is a desperate contender, and then who knows what they pay up for.
If anyone wants Felton for a second, please come and knock on my door.
So moving on, we've also got Kadarius Toney. He's got an ankle injury, so he looks to be out for 1 to 4 weeks. That Giants offense is getting banged up every week.
It's the curse of the Giants receiver, isn't it? You just don't want to be a Giants receiver because you're going to get injured. I'm presuming Dante Pettis and Sterling Shepard will be out injured next week.
Maybe that leaves it all up for Colin Johnson, the deep dive from a few weeks ago.
Absolutely, maybe.
So T.Y. Hilton as well with a quad injury. He came back, he did pretty well, and then left the game. Didn't return, and then now he's looking to be out 2 to 4 weeks, Rich.
This one hurt because it felt like, you know, he looked good, right? He's back to being fantasy relevant. It looked like he was, you know, going to make Carson Wentz fantasy relevant again. It felt like that whole offense took a big step forward once you had T.Y. Hilton healthy. And then obviously he's now injured. It's, you know, soft tissue injuries when you're a fast speed receiver are always scary, and especially when you get to this point in your career. So I hate to say it, but could this be the kind of the beginning of the end for T.Y. Hilton if we're going to start seeing niggly injuries start hanging around for the next year or two?
And then the last bit of injury news that I've got is Latavius Murray out for, again, 2 to 4 weeks with an ankle injury. The only reason I really included this one, although he's not been fantasy relevant, is it might see the window open for more usage for Tyson Williams, who we haven't seen much of over the past couple of weeks. Or we could even see Devonta Freeman get a lot more usage. And again, none of these backs have really been in your lineups unless you're desperate, but we might see that more usage. And to try not to aggravate Rich a little bit, but they might become those volume-based running back twos.
Look, the reason I hate volume-based running back twos is the price you have to pay. And I don't think any of these guys are having to pay that price. I thought you were going to say Lev Bell then. I'm glad you didn't, because he looks completely washed to me. I'll be honest, I want no part of Freeman. I want no part of Lev Bell. It's weird because this is normally a backfield you want every part of, isn't it? Whoever's the running back, you think they're going to produce. But look, if I can get Tyson Williams cheap, I'm not willing to pay really anything more than probably a third for him. But I'm really intrigued by him. I've really liked him when he was playing. I thought he looked explosive. I thought he looked like, you know, he could produce. You look at the kind of advanced statistics, you know, his breakaway percentage is great. His yards after contact is great. You know, I do think there's something there. I can't get my head around why the Ravens aren't giving him more workload when you've basically got three corpses in the backfield to share him with. I do wonder if it's more of the kind of the non-fantasy side. You know, we saw him basically not be able to block anyone in pass pro and you know, miss a few assignments on that side of things. But I think if Latavius Murray is down, I'm kind of hopeful that Tyson Williams might get a bit of a chance.
I think I'm just hoping for that at this point. He did look pretty good, but we'll have to see how that goes, because as you said, it might just be the non-fantasy relevant part of football that lets him down. And we all know that teams don't really care about fantasy football and our feelings when we're trying to play. when they're trying to win a Super Bowl. So the last bit of significant news I wanted to bring up was the trade deadline is in 2 weeks' time. I know I hinted at this earlier. It is on the 2nd of November, so that's 2 weeks as of recording on Tuesday. So the only reason I really wanted to bring this up is we could see some veteran running back trades, and that might be a little bit hopeful, but we could see someone like a Marlon Mack get traded, because I know that the Colts have already said that they want to trade him, but whether we see anything with these running back injuries, I don't know. I think it is a bit too wishful right now, but
I'm gonna stick my flag in the sand and say, look, there is going to be nothing fantasy relevant trades happening from here to the trade deadline. You can mark that down now. I'm very confident. Look, wherever Marlon Mack goes, people will get excited. People will go, you know, if he ends up at the Chiefs, people are like, oh, he's going to be great at the Chiefs. Look, I don't think he's going to be fantasy relevant. I think he'll be a nice, you know, third back. I think he'll be a nice compliment to fill out a backfield for a playoff run. I don't think he's ever going to be a fantasy producer. And I don't really see anybody else that could be a big mover that's going to be anything massive for fantasy.
But that's precisely why I wanted to put this on the list is, yes, you might not get the fantasy production from any of these trades, but I have a feeling that if something does happen, for example, with Marlon Mack, you might see a bit of a price decrease with whoever the running back one or maybe two is there, and you might be able to snag them for a little bit cheaper. Again, probably a little bit hopeful, probably never going to happen, but I'm looking at the price drop and the price differences when someone gets excited over a trade, rather than the actual production that's going to come out of anything from the trade deadline.
I think you're just proving yourself as an expert podcaster there, Liam, with an excellent segue to our next segment, which is going to be the Dynasty Stock Market. And we're going to start with the Chiefs backfield. Who is the RB1, shall we say? Look, Darrell Williams was fantastic on Sunday. So he scored 23.9 fantasy points, which is more points than CEH has ever scored in a single game in his career. The last person to score 23.9 points or more as a running back for the Chiefs was Damian Williams back in 2019. What do you think? Do you think we're going to start to see CEH faded out as we move towards him potentially returning from IR in 3 weeks? Do you think that it's still CEH's backfield to own? Or?
I do think we'll see a lot more Darrell Williams in that backfield. I don't think that CEH is going to be faded out down to what we would probably class as a timeshare. But I do think Williams has proven himself enough to at least put some doubt in Andy Reid's mind over how much usage CEH should be getting. The only thing I really want to say on this is I'm upset that Jerick McKinnon is not getting anything there, because I so desperately wanted him to be a thing at some point, even if it was for a season. I wanted last year it was great when he was scoring 10 points every odd week, but yeah, I think for that backfield, Jerick McKinnon is probably not doing anything anymore. You might see an odd game where he scores a touchdown and scores over 10 points, but I think it's definitely CEH's backfield when he comes back. We will see Darrell Williams a lot more than we have been seeing him right now.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one, because I do like Darrell Williams and I think he looks good. I don't know if he's going to get this role when CEH comes back. I do think that they've invested in CEH, and I think they'll continue to use him. But I do wonder, as you said, if Darrell Williams could eat into that usage. And I do think he's shown enough that he should certainly be considered and kind of kept around moving forward. I just don't know if he's ever going to be kind of higher in terms of value than he is right now. And to me, that immediately makes me think maybe you give it another week, see if he can do it again this week, and then you look to sell, because, you know me, I'm always looking to try and sell at peak value when it comes to a running back.
Yeah, I again, totally agree. I don't think you're going to get any better value right now than Darrell Williams is currently going for. So if you can sell him and you can afford to let him go, I think that's a big thing. We always talk about selling at peak value, but a lot of people mistake that sell at peak value for sell at all costs. If you're contending and Darrell Williams is helping you contend, keep him. At the end of the day, we're all trying to win a championship. But if you can afford to let Darrell Williams go right now, say he's your running back 4, maybe your running back 5, you've got no buys coming up in the coming weeks, why not try and sell him now? And then you could even turn that pick that you sell him for into a longer-term asset that will increase in value in the future.
I think it's got to be a second for me if I'm selling him. I'm not selling him for, you know, anything less, I think.
No, yeah, I'm with you there.
I think a second's probably an overpay in terms of his value. So if I can get that second, I'm pretty happy with that, to be honest. So yeah, so then the next big riser, so it's Darnell Mooney. So this is now the third week on the trot that he has out-targeted Allen Robinson. It feels like we talk about the Chicago pass catchers every week. are we ready to have the conversation that Darnell Mooney is the wide receiver 1 in Chicago?
No. No, I'm not.
That was not as easy, moving on.
we spoke about this on text when we were trying to figure out who to put on the show sheet. I think for the rest of this season, he does have a genuine chance at being the top target there. A-Rob may come back, but whether it's to the full extent of what we believe Allen Robinson to be and what we've seen him be in the past, I'm not sure he will come back and probably overtake Mooney at this point. But we looked in, I believe it was yesterday, we had a look. The Bears have the 11th most cap space next year. We have people like Juju Smith-Schuster coming off an injury and a one-year deal. We've got Will Fuller, Chris Godwin's coming off a franchise tag and he's still not being extended. Even a Devontae Adams, I mean, that's going to break my heart if he does leave Green Bay, but...
Especially if he goes to Chicago.
That would kill me. I know that Rodgers isn't going there because he's already shot that down in a press conference last week or this week maybe. But I don't think Adams would go to Chicago, but it's a very stacked free agents class for the wide receiver position at least. So although Mooney could have a great role this year, I don't foresee it happening in the future. And we spoke about this again. The draft class next year isn't really bad at the wide receiver position. In fact, it's pretty good and it's pretty deep.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm not saying that it's going to be like it was this year where we had who's going to go in the first round and there are about 5 to 8 different names. I'm just saying that I wouldn't put it past the Bears organization to use their first or second round pick on a top wide receiver. And that could spell trouble for Mooney and his targets. Yeah.
I think that for me, like I like Mooney the player in terms of the fantasy asset. I think his ceiling's capped. You know, me and day 3 wide receivers, I just don't believe that the ceiling is there. And he's another one that I think, at the moment, he's probably about priced about right, and I think he's a decent value if you can get him for that sort of second-round price range. But I do wonder if he's a sneaky buy now with a view to selling him early in the off-season, because I do think that people are still valuing him as the wide receiver 2. People are thinking that Allen Robinson is worth more from a dynasty perspective than Darnell Mooney. Okay? If you can go and buy Darnell Mooney for a second-round pick now, the hype will happen around February, March time, okay? Just before free agency hits, people will get excited that Darnell Mooney is the wide receiver one in Chicago. Allen Robinson's probably going to move on and go elsewhere. And people will start talking about Darnell Mooney's going to have a 25% target share. He's a must buy. He's going to break out. He's going to be a superstar. And that's the point at which you then sell Darnell Mooney. Because I do tend to agree with you. I think that there is going to be competition in this offense. I think people are going to be excited about this offense. People are going to talk up Darnell Mooney because Justin Fields is the quarterback. What could he be? And I think that that's your opportunity to sell. And then the big fallers of the week. So the first one, put your fingers in your ears, Murph, if you're listening, but it's Robbie Anderson. Okay. I just don't know what to make of it. You know, I talked about this in the WhatsApp group last week. The targets are there. The air yards are there. Everything is there. The red zone targets are there. And he's just not catching the ball. We saw him have, I think it was 11 targets. He only came down with 3 of them for 11 yards on Sunday. His catch rate so far this year is 38%. You know, yes, I get he's getting some deep shots, but that should be at like 60, 70%. It is absolutely mental. Now, his catchable targets is, in terms of the percentage of balls that are catchable, is quite low, but it should still be higher. I mean, I can't work out if it's watching the games. I can't work out if this is a him thing. I can't work out if this is a Sam Darnold thing. I want to believe that the peripherals are there to say that Robbie Anderson could break out and could be a stud for the second half of the year. But I'm just waiting for it, because those catch rate numbers and watching him on Sunday, and he couldn't catch anything. It feels like it's properly in his head at the moment. I mean, what do you think, Lynn?
For me, it really depends on what that catchable target percentage is. If it's still north of, I'll say 70, 80%, I would say it's probably more on Robbie Anderson, and it's probably in his head at this point. As you said, it's probably more of a mental thing than ability. We saw him last year catch a lot of balls. I think it was definitely over 100 targets. Whereas if it's lower than that, I really do struggle with what he's going to be in the future, because if his catch rate is 38%, as you said, that's abysmal. I really don't see a path back this year, maybe in the future, but I really struggle with him this year.
Yeah, it's just strange. And I can't, as I said, I can't work out what it is watching the game. They just seem like they're on different pages. It seems like it's in his head. I want to say he's a great buy low, because I do think that the targets and the air yards are there, which to me says he's underperforming. But I am a little bit concerned that the reason he's underperforming is a serious thing, and he might not bounce back. But who knows? But the other big fooler, so this is one of my most disliked running backs, shall we say. So I'm pleased you added him on here, Liam. So it's Devin Singletary. Basically, he's just not getting used, is he? This is 100%. Zach Moss's backfield. So he's currently snap share is around 25% over the past few weeks. So what are we doing with Devin Singletary? Is he at the point at which, you know, you're basically giving him away? Would you cut him?
I don't think I'd cut him. I think he'd still just hold value, but I don't know what that value is right now. I think people see the name and still associate the pre-season kind of, not hype, but the preseason value to him. I still don't think people have really put the name and the production together. When I looked earlier, he's, as you said, his snap percentage is around 25% over the past few weeks. The only way he's scoring anywhere near 10 points, which is like a threshold I tend to use in PPR at least, any time he's scored around 10 points, is when he's catching like over 3 targets. That's the only time that he's ever getting close to it, or he's scoring a touchdown. So for me, I think if I can get someone who's looking at trying to or not putting the name and the production together, then I'd probably sell right now. Maybe 2/3 I'd be getting out from under him. right now. As you said, I think Zach Moss's backfield for the yardage, and then Josh Allen's taking touchdowns where he can, and then Moss is taking the other ones. I don't think there's much there for Singletary.
Yeah, I want no part of him. I'll give me a third, give me a fourth. I'm just off. And I'm a guy that says I want every part of every running back, but I just don't think the usage is ever going to be there in this offense. Even if, you know, we saw a Zach Moss injury, I don't know if he's ever going to be kind of truly fantasy relevant and be kind of a starter for you long term. So the players of the week then, Liam. So this is my opportunity to brag about one of my guys again, Rashad Bateman. Now, I get your look. You're thinking stars of the week. He's not really been a star, but I think if you look at the underlying stats, I think he really was.
The sigh and me shaking my head with nothing to do with stars of the week, and you putting him on here. It was purely the fact that you just called him your guy. After the past 2 to 3 weeks, I've been hyped about him coming back from IR. I've got him in so many leagues, and people have tried to buy him off me for cheap. And I've said, if you're not paying what you were paying for him at the point of draft, after someone had drafted him, you are not getting him from me. And the fact that you just called him your boy right in front of me there, that's why I'm sighing.
I only did it to wind you up, Liv, because I feel like he's guy, but I want to claim him before we break it up. I was really impressed. I think he is the real deal. I was so excited about him coming out. I was so excited about him once he got drafted. Yes, the landing spot wasn't ideal, but I really thought he could be a stud in this offense. And on Sunday, I thought he looked fantastic. You know, he's not back to 100%. You can see he's not, you know, he's not running at that 90% snap rate. He's not being used all over the field. But I do think that I think he could be a league winner for people down the stretch. I hate to say it, but I think we could see a Justin Jefferson light. I said light, kind of second half of the season here. So he had a 22.2% target share. He had a 6.7 ADOT. I'd like to see that sneak up closer to 10. If I'm being honest, but I really, really was impressed in terms of his route running ability. He ran a slant, which I appreciate. It's not a particularly sexy route. We're not talking about any of these double moves, but his ability, his size to create separation even on those simple routes, I think is going to enable him to win all over the field. And I'm very, very hyped about him moving forward.
As you put on the show sheet, buy now whilst you can. I don't think his value right now matches what his potential upside is. I'm not saying you buy everyone at the top end upside, but I do think Rashad Bateman's average over the next couple of years in terms of value is currently higher. He's currently higher than what his current value is. So if I can get Bateman, I will. But what are you paying for him, Rich? Because I know people that are very high on Bateman like me. I also know that people didn't want to touch him after the draft, and probably after the stint on IR, they probably won't want to touch him still. But speaking about route running as well, you said that he wasn't running many of those double routes, those sexy routes. And yes, while that is true for the game, we saw him in the preseason absolutely destroy Marlon Humphrey. And that's no easy feat. I mean, yes, it was no pads and preseason, so Humphrey may not have been taking it fully, but Humphrey was still fully agitated that he got beat by this rookie. That sort of stuff hypes me up for him. And yes, maybe I'm buying into the hype a little bit, but if I can get him for anywhere around a first, I'm probably taking that. What are you thinking?
I think if I can pay I don't want to be paying a top six pick probably for him, but to give you an idea, he's my wide receiver 26. So I've got him ranked ahead of guys like Robert Woods, Mike Williams, Julio Jones, Juju Smith-Schuster, Michael Thomas, Allen Robinson, Adam Thielen, Odell Beckham. So if I can move off any of those guys to go and get Rashad Bateman, I'm absolutely doing that. I'm really excited about him long term. I'm really excited about what he could be. And I think that look, if he'd have been drafted by 31 other NFL teams, his value would have been probably a mid first. I think he'd have been the wide receiver two.
Maybe 29 other teams. Let's take the Texans and the Lions out of that.
Okay, fair enough. But I think he is the real deal, and I am super excited about him. And I think that because people still don't think he can be a fantasy stud in Baltimore, I think the value is still cheap. You know, we've seen Marquise Brown having this incredible stretch of what we now 11 games or something like that, if you go back to the end of last season. And I think that we're seeing Lamar has improved as a passer, and people haven't quite caught up and kind of got on board with that. I'm very keen to, as I said, go and buy him now while you can. So, Liam, who's your player of the week?
So I went for Khalil Herbert here. Now, his stat line is what drew me to him. I had a quick look at some tape, and I did really like the running that I saw from him. So for those that haven't seen his stat line, he went for 19 rushing attempts for 97 yards and a touchdown. So only 3 yards off that magic 100 milestone there. And then he also had 3 targets, 2 receptions, and 15 yards on those. Yes, he had about an 85% snap share. So he was basically the only running back on the field at any one point. There was no David Montgomery, who's on IR, and Damian Williams was also on the COVID IR. But I still think that for someone that the Bears got, I believe it was in the sixth, seventh round, he did really well. And if he's your running back 3 on a NFL organization, you're looking pretty well, pretty good at that point. The big concern that I have is he did it against Green Bay. And you know what? Although I am a homer, I will always admit I'm a homer. I do know what the Green Bay run defense is like. It is not a very good run defense. So he's got a real test next week against Tampa Bay.
I think it'll be an interesting switch next year because nobody even tries to run against Tampa Bay these days. You know, people go super pass happy. And I think that we'll now get to see what he can do as a receiver. So it'll be an interesting kind of 2-week stretch for him. So the deep dive player of the week, Liam. So I've, you know, in true spirit, I've dug a little bit deeper. I found someone that nobody's talking about. You know, that's the whole essence of this segment, which you never seem to quite get your head around. But I'm going with Cole Kmet here. So again, we talked about those sexy names. We talked about tight ends, and he was one of these that people were pegging as a potential breakout in the offseason, and everyone seems to have forgotten about him. But I'll be honest, I've been really impressed. I think he looks great. I think he is a... you know, going to be a solid NFL tight end. And the stats are there. So he had a 20% target share on Sunday, which is he's at 16% on the season. He's participating in 72% of routes so far this year. And 40% of his routes have come from the slot. So this is a guy that's getting moved all over the field. I think, you know, we talked about the Chicago offense hopefully taking a step forward as Justin Fields starts to get his kind of feet under him and starts to develop in this offense. And I think that you could potentially be able to steal Cole Kmet away now whilst everybody thinks he's trash. And this could be, you know, next year and beyond, the guy that, again, I don't think he's ever going to be a, you know, an elite top 5 tight end, but he could easily be a streamable option for you if you're going with a kind of 2-3 tight end strategy. I kind of quite like him, and I think he's basically free at the moment.
I like the price. If you can get him for a third, then sure, why not take the punt on a tight end for a third? My biggest concern is the tight end position in general. I'm just not a fan of the whole position from the point of a value stance. I do think that you can literally put anyone in your tight end spot and have a good chance at them having a top 16 week. As you said, the stats are there. And while Fields develops, maybe those stats do turn into production. But again, I see a wide receiver coming into that offense next year, which will take something away, whether it is going to be significant enough to see a drop from that 20% target share, I don't know. But again, I just think that Kmet really is one of those players, like a Troutman that I was thinking about before the pod, actually, where they were really talked up in the preseason, and they were like, I couldn't even sell them for more than a second. People were offering me seconds, and I said no, stupidly. I have no idea why. But now, if you got offered anywhere near 2/3, I would assume people are taking that. So
we do it every year. We hype up, you know, 10 to 15 of these breakout tight ends that they're going to break out, and every year one or two do. And then because those one or two break out, everybody points to the 10 or 15 next year and goes, look, you know, we've seen Dalton Schultz, he's turned into a stud. So why can't it be Adam Trautman next year? And everyone falls into the trap, and like, I'm probably doing the exact same thing and highlighting Cole Kmet, but I'm gonna keep talking about tight ends, Liam, and hope that eventually you will finally come round to my way of thinking. And then the final kind of player-based segment for the week. So we got the Dynasty Spotlight. Now, I text you and said, I want to talk about Josh Jacobs. And your response was, why? So let me tell you, Liam, okay? I'm really concerned about Josh Jacobs. I think that this could well be the kind of sell low in terms of, I think his price is about to plummet. I think that people are already kind of off Josh Jacobs. I think that people kind of got excited about him over the last 2 years, but people are realizing he's just a bit of a volume-based RB2, you know, those players that I hate. So he saw a 65% opportunity share this week, okay? Of that, he got one target in the passing game. He's averaging one target in the passing game this year. You know, we keep talking about maybe he might get used in the passing game. It's just, frankly, it's not going to happen. He has got the second highest touchdown rate of any running back that's had over 20 carries so far this year. He is at 7.4%. He's averaging a touchdown a game. Okay. I think if you can try and sell Josh Jacobs on the fact that he's producing, you know, he's putting up decent numbers when he's there. He's a reliable plug and play option. You know what you're getting. I think you've got to do it, because I just think that the bottom's about to fall out of this. You've seen Kenyon Drake's flash. I think Kenyon Drake looks more explosive than he does. I just think that basically the only thing he's got going for him is the volume that he sees and the fact that he scores touchdowns. And I think that both of those could disappear. So for me, if I'd probably want a first. It would probably need to be a late first, I'd guess, from a contender. They're the only guys that are going to be wanting to buy Josh Jacobs. But yeah, I'm definitely looking to sell him. What do you think, Liam?
Sold. You've sold me. maybe that was a bit theatrical, because I did have a look at his stats before the pod. So the reason I text you why is I have him in one of my leagues, and he scored pretty well for me this week. So I was like, why do you want to sell him? He's been pretty average, is the best way to put it. He's not doing badly, but he's also not doing great. So I was a bit confused. And then when you said this, I then decided to have a quick look. And I mean, very quick. Let's just look at his snaps. Let's see his carries and stuff like that. And I know that Drake had a good week this week, but I didn't realize how bad it was for Josh Jacobs this week. I kind of expected normal usage, and I mean normal as in what we kind of saw last season. Whereas, yeah, I think if you can get a first for him, I'm selling him. I'm probably going to sell him in that league, hopefully, before any of them listen to this podcast.
Well, I've been trying to sell him for the last week in my one share of him. So if you're in that league and you're listening, he's a must-buy. You need to come pay me two first. So, Liam, the mailbag, have we got a listener question?
So we do, and this one is from our very own Paul from the Dynasty Listener League. He does his own little blog as well, so if you want to go check that out, that is at ppickham13, I believe is his Twitter handle. So
I may be making a guest appearance on that this week, so definitely have a look. There you go, little sneaky tease for you.
And another shameless brag there from Rich. I think we need to title this episode Shameless Brags from Rich all the way through.
Isn't that just the title of the podcast? I thought that was the only reason why we did this, so I could brag.
So the question is, what is your current value of Najee Harris in terms of startups? So projecting his current value into next year's startups, where would you take him?
Okay. Rich? All right. That's so I'll be honest, I prepped for this question based on value right now. So I might have to do some thinking on the fly. In terms of value right now, so he's my RB7. In terms of rough value, I value him around kind of two random firsts. The guys I've currently got ahead of him are Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, Jonathan Taylor, DeAndre Swift, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara. So in terms of startup value, okay, so in Superflex, I'm probably taking him middle of the second, mainly because I'm not touching anyone but quarterback in the first round. So I probably would still have Jonathan Taylor, DeAndre Swift, definitely. And then depending on how the rest of the season plays out, probably Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey still ahead of him. Okay. I'd also probably throw in those, you know, five young receivers ahead of him. So we're talking Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Jamar Chase, AJ Brown and DK Metcalf. And then I'd have to have a think about Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams again, how they look out the rest of the season. So I guess, to sum up, in a 1QB league, I'm probably looking at him back end of the first, early second. I'm thinking he'd probably be the fourth or fifth running back, and I'd probably take five receivers ahead of him. So, yeah, so probably around that 11th, 12th pick. And in Superflex, I'm looking middle of the second. What about you, Lynn?
Yeah, I'm very similar. So I've got him in kind of a fluid tier. I don't think I have any preference of him. DeAndre Swift, these are probably behind Christian McCaffrey and Barkley at the moment, but then and I suppose throw Jonathan Taylor into that top three, but then after that there's probably a tier of four. So that DeAndre Swift, Najee Harris, I can't think of the other two names off the top of my head. I know it's definitely four, but it's kind of fluid for me. There's no real, I want it in this order. And I think that's my kind of issue with him right now, is I think he's definitely a running back one. And as you said, in Superflex leagues next year, I'm looking at quarterback in the first round, regardless of where I'm picking. Unfortunately, I think that's where Superflex are going. And the days of getting quarterbacks pretty cheaply in comparison to what you'd have to pay outside of the draft, that's quickly evaporating after the past two seasons. But specifically for Najee, I really struggle with where to put him, because this season and last season have really proven that running backs will get injured, and I'm slowly starting to put wide receivers in that kind of mixed bag tier, rather than just having solid, let's take six running backs before we even look at wide receiver, like we probably did this year.
Yeah, I think for me, I've always tried to build my teams around quarterbacks and wide receivers, and it's certainly the way I'm doing. I'm probably, you know, time will tell how values settle down once we get towards kind of the, you know, startup season next year. But I wouldn't be shocked if in Superflex draft I'm going, you know, quarterback two or three in the first sort of five or six rounds. If I'm then going hammering wide receiver, and I don't even look at running back until like round 7-8, and then I'll do my usual thing and take 15 running backs and just hope that a couple pop, or I can get some, you know, make do with Damian Williams and Darrell Williams and people like that, and then just smash them in the rookie draft. I'm always concerned about building around running backs in Dynasty. And I think Najee Harris is another one because, yes, whilst he looks great and he's producing, and a huge amount of that is based on the fact he's getting a lot of receiving work, who's going to be the quarterback there next year? What happens if, you know, we see a completely different quarterback come in? Who knows what that offense is going to look like, to be honest. I just don't know if we see a mobile quarterback that doesn't check down to the running back, does that mean Najee Harris's value kind of evaporates because he doesn't get any of those targets? Who knows?
Yeah, I think with Najee, the good thing about him is I don't foresee the Steelers taking anyone significant to share that time with him, that they're not known as a timeshare offense. We know that they really do enjoy having that workhorse back. So with that in mind, I do have him ranked pretty highly in my running back rankings.
Yeah,
a little bit of breaking news, Rich, that isn't going to affect anything at all. I just wanted to bring it up to see your reaction, but Lev Bell has been promoted to the 53-man roster.
Doesn't matter. He's been promoted. He's played twice this season, and they're only promoting him now. They're running out of options. They need to promote him. There's no one else they can do. You know, next guy up is the janitor. So, you know, why not promote Lev Bell?
Next guy up is Marlon Mack, mate.
Yeah, okay. You keep telling me that Marlon Mack is irrelevant. And on that, we'll finish the pod. let Liam go off dreaming about Marlon Mack shares that are going to suddenly become super relevant when he lands on the Ravens. Don't forget, guys, check out manscaped.com. You can use the code 5YARD for that 20% off. And also, please listen, watch live, tune in for the DFS show on Thursday, or as Nick calls it, the Daily Fantasy Sports Show. We'll be revealing the password in order to enter that fantastic contest. Thank you very much. Hope you all had a great week, as successful as some of us, and we'll see you again next week.